Shalom Aleichem. When we last left our heroes, we were on Siman Tzadi Gimel. So let's just start again from the beginning of Siman Tzadi Gimel to chazer a little. Kedira Shabish Lababasar Lo Yivashal Ba Chalav. It starts. Kedira Shabish Lababasar Lo Yivashal Ba Chalav Yimbishal Ba Betoch Me Eis La Eis Asur Benosei Ta. Right? So if you cook, what was the case, chalav in a fleshik pot, then within 24 hours, it's still a tam l'shvach, is what it's called, a good taste. And therefore, if you can taste the basar, if you're starting, you get a goy. If you taste the basar, it is asur. It's not mutter. And if you're Ashkenazi, you chose l'shar, and you call it kedera, you need to have 60 pot full pot. And we went into a long discussion that last time. Aval l'shah me'eis l'eis. Kodesh yivash v'harei, havidinos etam l'fgam, and mutter etapshul. Okay, there'll be a whole simon about those tam l'fgam. Kof gimel. But if it's been 24 hours, then the rule is any taste that was absorbed in a kli for more than 24 hours is considered tam lufgam. It's a bad taste, and the tam lufgam has no halachic effect with the eved, and therefore the tafshel is much of kabal. But hakdeira asur levashal velo basar velo chalav. But the pot you're not allowed to use at all. Okay, there's a whole discussion in the Torah about what happens if you cook milk in a fleshed pot. What happens if you cook milk in a fleshed pot and the milk stays mutter? So what happens in that case? And there were three opinions in the Sefer Itzer. Either now the pot is pariv, or now the pot is milchig, or now the pot is usher if it was ben yomo, but mutter if it's seen leaves ain't a ben yomo. We pass like a peretz, like the pashut shot that's quoted by the Torah, that whether the pot was ben yomo or ain't a ben yomo, whether there was shishim or there wasn't shishim, in all cases, the pot is usher to use for meat and milk from now on, and the logic is very, very simple. The Taz, and everyone goes through what logic you need to justify any other approach. This is the common sense logic. It's a fleshing pot that always had a bli of meat. Now it is also a milking pot because it got a bli of milk. Now that it's a fleshing pot and a milking pot, you can't use it for meat, and you can't, because it's a milking pot, you can't use it for flesh because it isn't. You can't use it for meat because it's a milk pot. You can't use it for milk because it's a fleshed pot. At the Ramah, however, Avol Shar Dvarim Mutter. But Shar Dvarim is Mutter. Why? So this is an interesting pot. The Shach is going to ruin all our fun in Sifkat and Gimel. But this is a very interesting pot because if you think about it, what happens if it's within 24 hours? Right? If you have, what was this? Kedera basioma, shel basar, and you cooked chalav in it, then what happens? Then that chalav becomes treif, because it gets a tam, a good tam of meat. That was the sort of resha. And even if the chalav is six times the basar, at the very least, the kedera becomes treif, then what happens? The kedera is now basar b'chalav, it becomes treif. But if you have a kedera she'ena basyoma, shel basar, u'bishel b'chalav, then what happens? There's no treif. How can there be any treif? The meat and if it's basyoma, the meat and mixed milk can become a basar b'chalav, treif taste. But if it's not basyoma, then the meat and milk can't mix and become basar b'chalav, because basar b'chalav is only if you have a good taste of meat with a good taste of milk. A bad taste of meat or milk doesn't count. And therefore, what happens? Now, the kedera has a blia of basar and of chalav, but not of basar b'chalav. That's what this machaber is saying. It has a blia of basar from 3 days ago. It has a bli of chalav from just now, but it doesn't have a bli of the chalos basar b'chalav, because the basar and chalav couldn't combine to make a chalos basar b'chalav, because it was einu ben yomo, and a bad taste does not create a chalos basar b'chalav. So basically, what you call this kedera? It's a kedera, the bli of basar v'chalav with a vav, not basar b'chalav with a base. And therefore, what's an afgamina? You can't use it to cook meat, because it's a milchik pot. You can't use it to cook milk, because it's a fleshy pot, but you can use it to cook parm, says Arma. Avol shar dvarim mutter, but you can use it to cook pariv. because you're allowed to cook parv in a fleshed pot, you're allowed to cook parv in a milchik pot, meaning I can cook parv in a milchik pot now and then re-cook it in a fleshed pot. So I can also cook parv in a milchik pot and at the same time cook in the fleshed pot, which is basically what I am doing. Now, as you can imagine, this might be confusing for people. It's great for Avdanim, right? Say, oh, you want to see this pot of mine? It's fleshed and milchik, but it's not treif, it's not basar b'cholov. I can cook vegetable soup in it. However, it can certainly confuse the masses. And that's why the Shach wants to conclude, even though it's Dochit, the Ramah says, Mechfura Shar Dvar Mutter. The Shach says, later on, we see in any case, which is close and close to being confused with Basar B'Cholav, the Ramah says to treat the pot as treif l'gamri. And there, that's the end of Sukkot. Gimel Nifri says, it must be that even though this is the din, Al Pi Minhag, we treat this pot as treif l'gamri. It's a bit of a chiddush, because usually the Ramah tells us Minhagim, right? The Ramah always tells us Minhagim. And so Pashas of the Ramah is that he doesn't think there's a minhag to be machmir here. And, you know, go figure, why is there a minhag to be machmir that the Shach quotes of Sadigal Sefeh and not here? You can never tell with minhagim. Sometimes we're knowing, sometimes we're not. Pashas of the Ramah, there's no minhag to be machmir. The Ramah always tells us minhagim. Nonetheless, the Shach says there's a minhag to be machmir. And the minhag is like the Shach, the Achmona bring out the Shach. It's just a good idea because, you know, whatever, just, you know, you can imagine someone getting confused. So this is Alpi Din. You can cook Parif. But Alpi Minhag says the Shach, you shouldn't use it at all. You should treat it as treif. And that is the Minhag in this case, not to be such a lambda. Continuing. The Ramah then brings down this very, very, very strange Minhag. First he brings down the din. Vidin kisui kadeira, kadin kadeira atzma. The pot cover has the same halachic status as the pot. Right, what does that mean? If you put a fleshic pot cover on milk, then if it's ben yomo, the taste of the flesh will go into the milk and make everything treif. If it's ain't ben yomo, then it won't make the milk treif, although the milk will make it. Basar and chalav, which practically our meaning will be to treat as treif. However, then he says, v'yesh machmirah b'kisoy, lomer da'afni she'ein ben yomo, dinu k'ilu hoya ben yomo, ha'go shari dura, b'shem kovetz. Kovetz, we don't know what kovetz means. It means he found some book. It's a little strange that Kamoshi says, you know, who says just because he found some book that that book, you know, means that it's authoritative, you know, that it's really written by a gadol. After all, there were non-gadolim in the old days also. You know, just like nowadays, there are gadolim and then there are rabbis. You don't really know what they're talking about so much. So in the old days, there are gadolim. Those are the ones who we have their books and we know their name and the name of their book and they're famous. And then there are people who don't know what they're talking about. And maybe that's the book the Hakadosh Shari Dura found. It's a little funny because the Hakadosh Shari Dura quotes it, right? So you're not sure what to think. On the one hand, as the flower you're going to keep, says, Lav Mar Barfashi Chasim Alei. On the other hand, the Hakadosh Shari Dura quotes him. So the Ramah is not sure what to do with this. But Yeshmacher, the key, so he'd say that even Eina Ben Yomo is as if it's Ben Yomo. Meaning, if you put an A, this happens all the time. People accidentally put the right wrong pot cover on their food. Like, for example, you put a milky pot cover in your chicken soup. It's probably ain't a ben yomo. No. Yesh omer that treats up the chicken soup, that a pot cover is more chomer, even if it's ain't a ben yomo, will treif up your food. Basically, if a pot cover is ain't a ben yomo, it'll still be considered tam lishmach. Why? He says, you see how the reluctance, the grimace on his face at the time. This is the meaning of many places, and this is the meaning of his place where he lived. And therefore, he's knowing that way, if nay ha minhag, go chumra below tam. What's the reason? Chumra below tam, there is no reason. So, says the Ramah, obviously, the Ramah is the champion, right? The Ramah was like, you know, part of his, the goal of his life is to explain all the minhag Ashkenaz and to show why they make sense and why they're authoritative, etc. This one he gave up on. So, here we have the minhag, that a kisoy. She'eino ben yomo oser hatam shel kemo ben yomo. What's the reason? Says the Ramah. None. There is no reason. It's a chomer below tam. Why does he do it? He's stuck by the minhag. Therefore, does he conclude? B'chol mikol makom makom she'ishum tzad lahatir v'lav hachi yushum tzor tzad shabbat zol hefzid yesh lahatir mein akishu ben yomo kemo b'kdeira atzma. And therefore, there's no minhag. You're sort of stuck with this custom. However, if there's another tzad l'hakel in some way, any other possible reason to be made gel, or if it's a shasad chak, like it's Erev Shabbos, and you neither Shabbos food or it's a hefsed, then you can be makel. So he makel says, like, try to find an excuse to be makel. Not try to find. If you can find an excuse to say, I'm not violating the minhag, be makel. And if you're stuck, you're bound by this minhag, if that's the minhag of your town, even though it's a minhag without a reason. The in the Pesach Tshuva here, if you look in Sifkatan Gimel and Sifkatan Dalet, comes up with all kinds of excuses to be makel here. He says, well, maybe if it's 2 months since it's been used, then you can be makel, because maybe there's some weird possibility out there that after 2 months the bleas disappear. Then he says, and if it's not a pot cover, it's just like a plate you use as a pot cover, maybe you can be makel, because maybe the minhag was only on an action. Maybe the minhag was only on something which is defined as a pot cover, not something you have to use as a pot cover. Okay, basically come with lots of excuses, because the Rambam says look for an excuse, basically look for an excuse to be makel. Okay. Yeah, this is the Pesach Tshuva. In Gimel, he says if it's 2 months old, and Dalet, he says if it's not a permanent pot cover, then you can be makel, which obviously has to do with there not being a reason. Okay, did anyone give a reason? So, the Shach points out, the Torah Chatas gives a ksas tab. The same Rambam, the Torah Chatas gave a little reason. Okay, what happened by the time he wrote this? I guess he stopped being convinced by the reason, and we don't really understand the reason. But the what does the Torah Chatas say? And the Shach says he doesn't understand the reason. He says, because it gets the pot cover absorbs through zeya and recha, and that's more than actual food, which does not really seem to make terribly much sense. Meaning, why would it be more than actual food? Meaning, it's enough of a chiddush to say that zeya and recha counts like food, and even that's controversial so little. But why would it be more? Okay, we don't really understand. Zeya and recha are chomer. Okay. And we don't really understand what the logic of that is. We don't understand the Rambam, but we're not supposed to. He says you're not supposed to understand it. You know, if he says the chok, it's a vote. Here, very, very difficult to understand. If you look in the, there are some other pshatim. The Bach is a little difficult. This, the Taz quotes from the Bach. Kamen Sharticha Olasha Tamid Nidbach Ma'od Vi Efter Lakan Cho Hati. Okay, this is a principle. This is a bit of a controversial principle, but by the time you get, I mean, controversial in Rishon, by the time you get to Shulchan Aruch, it's not controversial at all. The heter that we introduced here, right? We sort of snuck this heter in, but I assume it's something we all just know from growing up, etc. That after 24 hours, the Pli and the Kli becomes Tam Lifgam and no longer offers anything. That heter only applies to bleas inside a kli. Schmutz on the surface of a kli, we have no such heter. Bleas inside a kli wear off after 24 hours. They're no longer good taste. How about caked on schmutz on the surface of a kli? Obviously, at a certain point, it will spoil and have a bad taste. But will that be 24 hours? The answer is no. We have no specific masorah. And obviously, if I asked you, you'd say it depends what the schmutz is. You know, if the schmutz on the side of the kli is milk and it's August, then probably after 8 hours it will be time lived gone. You know, if the schmutz on the side of the kli is something, you know, that, you know, whatever it is, that lasts a long time, whatever you can imagine is, you know, chocolate spread, then it'll probably, you know, it's all made of nuclear chemicals anyway. And it'll probably, you know, outlive the cockroaches in case of apocalypse. But certainly it'll be Tam L'Shvach for at least a couple decades. So since we have no specific Masorah, then as a general rule, we'll assume that even after 24 hours is a problem, so maybe there's something stuck on the surface. So says the Bach, that basically what everyone wants to say is, it must be that in the pot cover there's Be'en. And Be'en is not Nifgam after 24 hours, but why is there more Be'en on the pot cover than on the pot? Says the Bach something I also don't understand. Since the steam always goes there, it's Nidmak Be'od Ve'yeshel Lekan Chohiti. Okay. Verticha means Zeya. Hazeya Sham Nidmak Me'od Ve'yeshel Lekan Cho, to wipe it, Hiti. It gets so much stuck on from the steam always going up that you can never clean it properly. So we assume that there's be'en there, and be'en is not nifgam after 24 hours. Okay, it's just also a little tricky. I mean, if you want to say that the guy didn't clean it, say he didn't clean it. Say that a pot also. Really? It's hard. I mean, maybe you've washed dishes in your life. It's harder to wash a pot cover than to wash a pot. That does not match our experience. Now, I don't know, who knows? Maybe in his town, like, they wash the pots every time right away, and they wash the pot covers every 6 months. It was very hard. But it's still a little tricky. This Bach is also a little hard to imagine. Why is it impossible to wipe off the pot cover, but possible to wipe off everything else in the world? You know, for us, it's hard to get this, after the cholent, it's hard to get the stuck on stuff in the pot. The pot cover's sneezy. So we're left with only one shot that seems to be logical. It's based on Okinta, which the Marshal quoted in the Shach and the Taz. Says Marshal, they had funny pot covers in those days. Says the Marshal that he says that their Ktsorim Milamal of Yeshlan King Cholol Kimoshi Yeshvaharbe Kisuyim. Okay, I don't usually see Kisuyim like this, but when he says Kimoshi Yeshvaharbe Kisuyim, he's talking about things he saw with his own eyes, not about intellectual theory, right? Things in front of him. Right? Apparently, in those days, they had pot covers that were pointy. And it was hard to get your finger in to the point. So says the Marashal, that this Chumra is talking about the Kisoyim. What's a good way to describe it? Shem Ktsorim Milamal of Yishlam Cholo. Ktsorim Milamala V'Yishlahem Cholo. They were pointy at top. On the top, and they had a little empty space where it was pointed on top, and you couldn't fit your hand in there to clean it. Now we understand why, right? That in some ways he's similar to the Bach. He turns this into the head, right? But he says, why is there the end there? The F sharp, Lenakoso. Because it has a pointy little secret compartment that you can't fit your hand in, so you can't clean. So it's not that it's too hard to wipe off. It's just that you can't, in the pot, you can fit your hand in. You put your food there. The cover, you're not supposed to put your food there. So it's made in these weird shapes with weird little secret compartments that you can't fit your hand in. If you can't fit your hand in, what happens? Things go in, they go in, they go in, they get stuck there. And Be'en gets stuck there. And Be'en is not Nifgam after 24 hours. And that's why it's a problem. Okay, this is an Okimta, but this is the only logical explanation. Yeah, if you're talking about these funny kind of pot covers, and that's true. We know in Hovah Pesach, etc., whatever has cracks and crevices, you know, you can't kosher. Why can't you kosher something with cracks and crevices? Because you can't clean it. So here also you can't clean it. He's saying many pots in those days. And that's the pots in the town where they had this many were those days. What's the nafkamina? All the Achronim say, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, if we have pot covers without crevices, then we don't have to keep this minog. And nafkamina is, if there's no crevices, then there is no minhag lahachmir, and that's what the modern-day postim agree. They'll say we have to keep the marashal, the only logical explanation. If you look in the Chavos Adam, if you look in the Chavos Das in the back, the Shachs also agrees with him before that. We pass like the Marshal, that was only until we had funny shaped pot covers, and I don't think nowadays we have such pot covers. If you do, then you have to keep this minute.
That was good. It's the only logical explanation because there are much logical as well that there's just
the so okay, it depends what you call logical. We don't have to argue over semantics. We always prefer to say there's logic than that it's a Chumra B'lo Tam. Yes. Okay. All right, so that is the first part of Siman Tzadik Gimel. Yes, Benjamin.
My experience with cleaning covers is that even though not Sar Lamala, but there are spots in there where, like, you know, it's like hard to clean. Like,
really?
The rims, like in between the rims, and you cook good chicken soup, like in the rims of the pie. It's really hard to get, you know, for that.
Okay. No, all it has to be is that the chicken soup boils up and condenses there, and eventually you get like a little layer of chicken soup there. Okay, you're right. If your pot cover has such things, then you have to keep this minute. Most my pot covers usually don't. I don't know if my I don't think any of my pot covers have any crevices. But okay, maybe I have fancier pot covers than you because I'm rich because I work for YU. I don't think I'm that tough for reporting Israel.
What if someone's bad at cleaning pots? And, like, you know that they.
But then it has nothing to do with the pot versus cup, right? It's the same thing. Pot same. Oh, what if someone's particularly unhygienic?
Yeah.
What if someone's particularly unhygienic? You'd have to be more machmir. But again, ain machzik and isser. I don't think you have to assume that unless you have good reason. But like you've seen a lot of their pots, and they're all dirty. Then you'd have to be more machmir in this case. Okay. But it's probably not so healthy to eat by these people anyway. It's certainly not healthy to eat by these people knowing that they're unhygienic. Because then you'll for sure feel sick afterwards. So if you eat by those people, just don't find out they're unhygienic and you'll probably be just fine.
You know, I'm talking about that
Then, if any be'en there will always be less than the shish in the pot that you're using, that's discussed by the someplace here in the Achronim. Then the simple shot is that since by the time the steam gets up there, it's considered connected to rotev because it's in the steam, then it would be possible to shisha and your food would be mutter. No. Nothing is a hetul l'chatzila. You can never use the wrong thing l'chatzila. That's the general rule. We'll see, there may or may not be an exception. In the end, there isn't. But you can never use the wrong thing l'chatzila regardless. Even if it's less than a 60th and ain't a binyomo, you still can't use it l'chatzila. Okay, right. Now there are Majas. Agav talks about some cases that could come up. These are Maisa Koyom. The Imlaku Kisu Rotef Mikdir Shalbas and Nosos Lakdir Shalchal. Right? Accidentally, you're in the middle of cooking, you have a pot of milk and you put a fleshy pot come around it, or vice versa, of course. Im Shneim Chamin Shneim Asurim Yeshmachal Mikdir Shalbasar, the Kolov. If they're both hot and there's food in them, then everything is Asur. Right? If there's no food in them, then what's the problem, right? Bliya doesn't go from a kli to a kli without rotev. We learned Sadi Bey's Se'ef Ches, right? I take a boiling hot, I mean, I don't know why it would be boiling hot if there's not food in it anyway. I take a boiling hot empty pot cover and put it in a boiling hot empty pot, then that's no problem. Then there's no problem whatsoever. But if... if there is food, then what's the problem? The problem is that when you put the melting pot or the fleshic pot or whatever it was, then the steam of the fleshic pot goes up and connects to the pot cover, and then all the time of the pot cover goes into your food, and you are in trouble. And it doesn't even help to even though we'll see later. Why don't you check if he's Zia? Check if there's any condensed steam on the bottom of the pot cover. No, of course there's condensed steam in the pot. You took it off. You took it off cooking fleshic food. There's already steam on it. You put it on the milking food. There's already steam on it. You can't tell if more steam came from the milk or not, so you have to assume the worst. And that the steam of the milk went up to the pot cover and made everything treif. Okay. What if you put a cold cover on a hot pot? Nami shnei masurim, right? Remember, it's not thagavar. The hot is on the bottom. Em hiska lazia takzaki, so it's thagavar. But then you could check on the bottom of the pot cover if there's sweat or not, meaning if there's condensed steam or not. If you put a cold pot cover on a hot pot, and it was a hot pot, but it wasn't steaming, and you take it off, there's no steam, then there's no problem. Nothing connected to what's inside the pot. Just a kli touched a kli, which b'diavad does not create a bliya. But if there's steam on the bottom of it, then it's connected to the pot, and that creates a bliya, and everything is usher. Okay, v'im hakisah chamak der sinemis. What about the last possibility? Besides everything being cold, which is not so exciting. If the kisah is hot and the kdeira is cold, then that is very controversial. The Ramah said, it's machlokes in the Yisrahet, and then go Shari Dura, and he was making like the coolest of both. He says, Hakol Shari, everything is mutter. Hot on cold, everything is mutter. Raka machl tzor klipa. However, if I put hot on cold, so I put hot on cold, there's no steam coming up from the milking food. However, if I took it off a hot pot, there's steam condensed on the flation pot cover. So I put the flation pot cover on. The steam, the drops of condensation, which now cool off, right, will drop into the food. So therefore, I need to take a klipa off the top of the food. And after the kalpo, b'yim lav hakol. Sorry. So if it's a thick kind of thing where I can peel layer off the top, because that's where the drops fell down. And what if it's a liquid where I can't peel a layer off the top? Then I don't have to worry about it. Or what if for whatever reason I can't peel a layer off the top? Because minastam, it is any drops that fell in are both shishim, so it's no problem. What if there is no food in the what if there's no food in the kedera? Like I take it from a hot pot and put it on an empty kedera, then there's no problem because a blia won't go from pot to a pot without rotif. Now here we get into a big controversy between the Ramah and the Shachir about this last, the case of hot unto cold, whether there's food in or whether there isn't food in it. And what are we talking about, hot unto cold? Specifically hot with a lot of condensed steam on it, onto cold. It would be a hot dry lid onto cold when the Shach points out, then there's nothing to talk about. Then everything's much because what could the problem possibly be? Right, so let's just go back to this case. Right, what do we have here? We have a flation on top?
Yeah, I think so.
Here is a hot flation pot cover with lots of little beads of flash on it, which we put onto a cold milking pot. Says the Ramah, the pot is mutter. If there's food inside, the food might need to clean up because those little drops that come down, but the pot is mutter. So the Shach says, what are you talking about? Why should the pot be mutter? After all, there are all those drops of Zeya that hit the milking pot. Right? That's the machlokas between the Ramah and the Shach. How about the fact that these little drops touch the milking pot? So, no, that's just where I could fit an arrow. Okay. The Ramah says mutter, and the Shach says aser. What's the svar of the Ramah? The svar of the Ramah is that it's just little drops. Just a little drop is considered, right, basically it's like Eroi, right, hot onto cold of a little drop. Just a little drop it loses its heat and is considered like klisheni, right? That was very much like the pshat of many achronim at the end of the very end, siftes of Siman Sadi Beis, right? With the ner shel chelo, also the ner shel shava. That one little drop, that's not Eroi, that's sort of klisheni. The Shach has two objections. What are the two objections to the Shach? Number one, this is the Shach in Sifkatan Vav. Number one, says the Shach, that Maharam he meant was Sadi Beis Siftes. It happens to be that the, you know, the Maharam is quoting the Darkei Moshe in Siman Kof Hey, but he's quoting the Shulchan Aruch in, I mean, he quotes the Shulchan Aruch, added the second half of the, from the oil lamp to the candle of the, or who added the oil in the candle lamp to the drop of the Maharam. But says the Shach, remember we have this machlokas, I'm not going to repeat it because it wasn't so long ago. He says, when you say, I proved to you that one drop is no problem, because it says that all you need is to scrape the, knife. No, that doesn't mean one drop is like klisheni and has no pliya. A scraping the itzahavi keklipa, v'kach kosov, He says, no, that's remember this machloket. Are you scraping the wax off the knife or are you scraping part of the knife off? He says, no, scraping counts as klipa. Scraping is klipa. And therefore, he says, really, it is nivla. It's nivla k'dei klipa. So, what's the shach says, the Ramah, his svara is that one drop is like klisheni. Says the shach is two objections. A, even one drop is like ira k'rishon, and what aser k'dei klipa, and once an aser is three klipa, you need the kasha of the pot, meaning, who cares if the pot's all, I mean, maybe make some subtle differences, but I said, who cares if the pot's all aser, or only aser little k'dei klipa in one space? Either way, you have to kasher it. And B, he says, and this is a strong kasha against the Ramah, he says, even if you want to be makel, that one drop that falls someplace, that loses its heat, and that becomes a klisheni, in this case, this drop is still touching the hot pot cover. It's not like the drop's falling 5 feet in the air from the hot pot cover and gets cooled off by the time it lands. You're putting the hot cover, pot cover on with the drops. Shouldn't the hot pot cover keep those drops hot? Says the shah. The cover is with the drop. Right, look over here, right? This cover is touching this drop and keeping it hot. So how can you say that drop cools off when it falls from the cover onto the pot? What do you mean? The cover touches the pot. There's a drop in between them. The cover keeps it hot. Halacha l'maisa, all the achronim agree with the shach. No one passes like the Ramah here. We pass like the shach against the Ramah. A, that even one drop could still be hot. And B, forget about whether one drop could be hot. Here, the drop's on the hot pot cover. Of course, it's still going to be hot. So we totally reject this Ramah. Matter of fact, the Ramah seems a little dachuk, like at least because of the second question. You know, if you want to say one drop is not called Eroi, one drop is not called Chamal Kavitzone, one drop is not called the Tagover, a drop is nothing. Okay. You have to go to the sugya of Tatav Gavar and see if they're and say, no, there they weren't talking about drops, they were talking about big amounts. But over here it's a little funny because that drop is still attached to the pot cover. So how can it cool off? Like the pot cover has drops when you're putting it on the pot. So it's a little funny to say that it cools off when it touches the pot because it's still near its, I wouldn't say heat source is the flame, but it's proximate heat source. So this Ramah is very dachuk, and we all the achron and paskin like the shah. Yes, ma'am.
In the shop, if one were to use this pot, would you require 3,159 or would you require only 60?
If you were to use this pot, what happens? Like, this pot is bole a little. He admits it's not of its own name. It's only bole a little, right? This pot is bole a little. They cleep up from a drop. What happens then? L'chori can only be asur k'dei klipa. I mean, it's not like Sadi Bey's Seif Hay, where this taste can spread throughout the pot. There, it's a cold pot. Taste can only spread through k'dei klipa. So then, if there's only taste of meat in the k'dei klipa of this pot, what happens when you cook next in the pot? Then it gets a little tricky, because let's say there's only k'dei klipa worth of bliya basar b'chalav up here. But then, when you cook next in the pot, this won't be k'negid rotev. So maybe it'll spread out. So there you get to a machlokas. It was a Rabbi Akiva Eger, not Rabbi Akiva Eger here. This gets into a machlokas in Rabbi Akiva Eger earlier. If you want to know where, Rabbi Akiva Eger in Siman Sadi Beis, I have Sif Kuttons. You don't have Sif Kuttons in your Rabbi Akiva Eger, right? Let me just tell you where it is. See where it's going on. Give me half a second to find. Here it is. It's Rabbi Akiva Eger on the Shach Tzadi Beis of Katan Chav Zayin. You know, this Rabbi Akiva probably says Shach of Katan Chav Zayin or something at the beginning of your Rabbi Akiva Eger. There, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, he wonders if, let's say you have a bliya here, like part of it was nifla, and then you're cooking it again. Will that bliya spread the next time? Or will it not? And he says in this case, what if? Do we say that it was Nivlak de Klipa, and then it spreads and spreads and spreads and spreads? So he says, no. It's not going to spread again with that Rotev. And this is a little controversial, but Rabbi Akiva Eger says that it won't spread again until the Rotev reaches there. And once the Rotev reaches there, it'll be Batul L'Shishim. So, L'chora, according to that Rabbi Akiva Eger, it would be Batul L'Shishim that you wouldn't need 3,600. You'd only need Shishim next time you cook, then Shishim against a clip of a drop or two, you for sure have. So if you cooked in this pot again, it would be okay. Why? Because you're not worried about Hanan. Because right now it only has a tiny amount of Bliya. When you cook again, that tiny amount of Bliya is not going to spread until the Rotev reaches there, because only Rotev makes it spread. And once the Rotev reaches there, it's going to get a Rotev, it'll be bottled in the Rotev.
And also, it's going to pot this pot in the day,
probably
going to what? It's going to
the piece,
or straight to the bottom of the pot.
Well, that depends. Like, how about right here? Like, the kiso also touch the top of the pot.
Right,
and that's what the Shach's second taina was, I think, over here. It's still touching the pot cover.
So
that's what I think he meant. Voda, what does he say? The kiso gufa imalach luchliskan naga bekdeira. The kiso is naga bekdeira. So I think he's saying, A, even if it drops, it'll still be nivlach bekli. But B, over here, the kiso with lach luchlis touches. So that's, but he's saying both are aser, right? This pot will oscer for one reason, and this drop will oscer for one reason, this drop will oscer for two reasons.
Yeah, on the rim a little bit.
Yeah, so on the rim, so it'll be all over. And also, like, not all pots are straight, you never know where it could land if the walls are a little slanted.
But we probably assume more than one people can fall down.
Yeah, but before it's still going to be multiple shishim, I would think. Okay. Any other questions on this? Okay, the Taz at the end of this simon, again, it's not really on this, the Taz in the continuation of Sifkat and Bey. So it's not really part of Sifkat and Bey, it's just things he sticks in at the end. He analyzes two shitas, which are quoted in the Torah and the Beis Yosef. One is the shita of the Rashba. Right, what's the shita of the Rashba? The Torah quotes a Rashba who says that if you cook your, if you have a fleshed pot and then you cook parav, what was there? They didn't have a word for parav. What do they call parav? Urokos. They call parav urokos because, like, what else do you cook with parav? Right? I mean, it makes sense. Even nowadays, like, what do we really cook? I guess we cook pasta or something. Okay, but usually vegetable soup, right? So if you cook, have a fleshed pot and you cook urokos and then you accidentally cook milk in the pot, then it will not answer your food. Cooking your rukos will weaken the fleshic taste so that the pot will not be considered fleshic anymore, certainly at least on the medium level. It will sort of clean out your pot and make it not able to be treif. That is, let's review the two things the Rashba says. Here you have 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. He has two different scenarios. Cook basar, cook urokos, and cook chalav. So obviously if you cook basar and then cook chalav, the chalav would be treif. But if you cook urokos in between, says the Rashba, when you cook urokos, it weakens the tam basar in the pot. Doesn't remove the tam basar in the pot, but it weakens it. Once it weakens the tam basar in the pot, then when you cook chalav, a chalav is mutter because a weak tam basar cannot create basar b'chalav. However, he says, don't be confused, if you cook iser in the pot at 1 o'clock and then cook your rukos or what have you, whatever you want in the pot at 2 o'clock, and then you cook heter in the pot, then cooking your rukos will certainly weaken the tam of iser, right? Physically, either your rukos weakens or it doesn't, right? But beef versus ham. If it weakens the beef, it weakens the ham. But nonetheless, the food is osir because a weak tam iser is still usser. This is the famous chiluk, which comes across in a few places in Shas and Shulchan Aruch, between Hetera and Isura, or Hetera Bala and Isura Bala. We find in many places a distinction between a Bliya of Isser and a Bliya of Heter. And in many of those distinct places, the distinction is sort of the same. A Bliya of Isser, even if it's weak, is still just as usser and just as powerful as it always was. A Bliya of Heter, once it becomes weak, stays mutter and can't become usser. Let me give you two examples of that, each of which is own analysis. But one example is called not bar not, right? That's the topic of Siman Sadi Hey, a little bit in Siman Sadi Vav. Not bar not is a secondary taste. What does secondary taste mean? Noodles cooked in a fleshy pot. First taste is secondary transfer of taste, right? The meat is meat. The pot is a first taste, nosing tom, first knot of meat. The pasta is a secondary taste. Two steps, meat to pot, and pot to pasta. That is considered parif. You can put cheese on it and it's fine. Why? Because it has such a weak taste of meat that it doesn't do anything. However, if I cook ham in a pot and then cook pasta in the pot, that pasta is treif. Oh, it has only a weak taste of pork. Doesn't matter. A weak taste of isser is still usser. But a weak taste of heter can be discounted. Why can it be discounted? Because a weak taste of isser, the isser is there. So the isser stays there until it's removed 100%. But a weak taste of heter, there is no isser there. An isser might come later, might be created later. If the isser might be created later, a weak taste can't create an isser later. Another example of this in the rules of kashrut. We know, even though we haven't gotten to that yet, but we just know from growing up, etc., that there's liban and hagala, things used for cooking. You need to kashrut boiling water. Things used for roasting or broiling or baking got a stronger plia, and you need to kashrut them with a blowtorch, as it were, with liban, you know, with a direct heat. What if something was used for baking or broiling, and you only do hagala to it? So the Gemara says in the Furish at the end of the Masechta Bazara, that if it absorbed isser and you do a gola to it, it's still treif. Why? Because it didn't get out all the taste. It still has a taste of isser left. But if it absorbed heter and you do hagola to it, now it's fine. Because it weakened the taste of heter enough, a weakened taste of heter becomes kosher. But a weakened taste of heter becomes harmless. A weakened taste of isser is just as usser as it always was. That's the idea of a tam kolosh, a weakened taste. So says the Rashba. Let's say you cook vegetable soup in a treif pot. You're right that, of course, it weakens the taste of treif in that pot. But it's still treif. But if you cook vegetable soup in a fleshig pot, which is hetera bala, then it weakens the taste of meat in that pot. And now that taste of the meat in the pot is so weak that it's not going to create basar b'chalav. So the weakened taste of heter is neutralized. Where does he get this from? From the Gemara. The Gemara says that if you cook, let's take an example. You cook today's chatas in a pot you used to, no, to cook today's shlomen, in a pot you used to cook yesterday's shlomen. Then yesterday's shlomen is hetera bala, right? Because today you're still allowed to use yesterday's shlomen, as it says explicitly in the Bible. But tonight it'll become usser. Okay. But if I then cook something else in the pot before tonight that weakens the taste of yesterday's shlomen, and now it won't become usher tonight, it won't become nosar, it's fine. So basically, as long as you use your pot every day to cook, then you never have to worry about nosar from the shlomen because it's mutter for 2 days. So it's mutter today, you cook it. And then tomorrow you cook other things that weakens the taste and it never becomes nosar. Okay. That is the Rashba. Mefarshim has two stiras to this Rashba. What are the two stiras to the Rashba? Number one, from the rejection of the Sefer Ha'itzer earlier in this simon. And number two, from a Sefer Truma quoted in the next simon. So let's see that's what the Beis Yosef struggles with and what the Tazir struggles with and this long Yehuda Zekesef struggles with as well. So let's see how that works out. And then we'll see if we paskin like the Rashba or not. Trees, yes, absolutely. Yes.
You cook noodles when you pot it, don't we call it meat equipment?
We call the noodles meat equipment, but now we're not in, yeah. That's because you're Ashkenazic. But according to most Rishonim, you can. And according to everyone, if you put cheese, it would be mutter. Right? It's only we asked rather for chumer lechatchila. Yeah, but let's assume for the sake of argument now that it's parv. And in any case, the yevon would be parv, right? Hmm. The trees are not working.
Should I use my non-trees?
That's so weird. As a matter of fact, my camera's not working at all. Warning, camera failed. That's very harsh. That's not politically correct at all. Warning, camera is not yet living up to its potential. Okay, I'm going to... Yeah, please. I'm going to write in that they have to fix that before they get in trouble.
Seems all slanted.
Yeah, I think we'll manage. Yeah, I think we failed this subject professional word.
Maybe someone should be a picture scratch and
on like... Yeah, really, only in like really old-fashioned things like Orthodox rabbinical schools do they still have failure. In any case, so they asked two kashas. There are, what are the two kashas? Number one is this the safer answer. Says the here's the Rashba. Says the Rashba. Not versus the safer answer. Versus the rejection of the safer answer. We reject the safer answer, right? We don't pass like the safer. What does the Rashba say? The Rashba says, after you cook your rakos, now the pot is parv. Yeah?
The first meat.
I don't think so. I think once it's weakened, it's weakened. He doesn't say, but that's what I think. What does the inter say? If you cook chalav in a meat pot and chalav is 60 times, so the chalav stays mutter, then the sefer inter says that the pot, he himself says that the pot is pariv. He says the pot is pariv, and we say that's ridiculous. But we say that the pot is treif. So we say the pot is treif. So what's the important part of being treif? The pot is, it's still bisari. And it's chalavi. So what's the problem? If you cook milk in a flation pot, even if you don't create muscle for chalav, the pot is still flation. If you cook yerokos in a flation pot, then the pot becomes parv. What's the difference? Just like yerokos weakens the meat, chalav should also weaken the meat. That's the stira between the rejection of sefer iter and the rashba. Who wants to answer the stira? So there are three answers in the Beis Yosef. One answer says Beis Yosef, three answers. Number one is that the answer is coming out of Klisheris, and in Klisheris you can't weaken because just like you can't kasher it, you can't weaken it. And the Rashi was talking about, anyone remember what we call a Kli that's not a Klisheris?
No.
Klishetev is a good one, right? Why do we call it a Klishetev? Because in Halakha and Tum Vatar, which are not necessarily relevant to this, but it just happens to be a good code word, you, or here actually, no, even Marak Veshutah Pamayim, you can kasher it in the halachas of kashering. So maybe they had the Rashba was talking about a metal or wood or something kli that's kasherable. Just like it's kasherable, it's weakenable. And the answer was talking about a kli cheres, which is not weakenable. That's one possible answer. What's another answer? A second answer, and that's, yeah? And why?
It's causing it to itself.
Exactly. Maybe this is your rakos, which don't cause an iser. If they don't cause an iser, they can weaken. But this is talking about chalav, which does cause an iser. Now, here it's a little tricky. Like, physically, either it weakens or not, but maybe you could say that, no, Yerakos, they weaken it and make it pyrrhic, but you can't say Cholov's going to help Basar. At the very least, be Drabanan to avoid confusion or something. Like, you can't be the Cholov will help Basar.
Right, so which don't cause Isser, right, can help. Cholov, which does cause Isser, can't help. And then the Beis Yosef had a third possibility, which is also based on Yerakos versus Cholov.
But not Yerakos. What are they? You're not cooking Yerakos. What are you cooking? Yerakos in?
Mayim. Right? This is Mayim. And this is Cholov. Mayim weakens. Cholov doesn't weaken. Why? Because water is more cleansing than Cholov.
Okay, that's possible. So there are lots of ways to answer this question. This is not such a big deal. What is a big deal is the stira in Sefer HaTruma
quoted in Siman Sadi Dalet. Right, that's what's going to be a lot trickier. What's the stira in Sefer HaTruma in Siman Sadi Dalet? Here we have the Rashba. Sefer HaTruma, and the problem is the Rashba is quoted by the Torah, and the Sefer HaTruma is quoted by the Torah.
Interestingly, the Rashba is not quoted by... Who doesn't bring down the Rashba? The Shulchan Aruch, interestingly, right? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't bring down the Rashba. So this is... These stiras are all within the Torah, right?
How can you reject the Sefer Iter? All these stiras are within the Torah.
Right, how can you reject the Sefer Iter? And,
I take that back. The Torah doesn't quote.
The cause of a Torah Shem or Rashba, that first Stira is within the, all these Stira. And then he asks, once comes in, Zahavia Torah,
these are all within the Torah. Sorry. Okay. In Torah, these are the Stira.
So, how about the Sefer Truva? What does the Rashba say?
The Rashba says that if you cook Yerakos, it makes the pot parif. What does the Sefer HaTruma say? The Sefer HaTruma says something based on the idea of Hanan. What does he say?
Let's follow. If I cook in the morning ham, and then I cook water or something neutral in the afternoon, okay, what happens to that water that I cook in the afternoon? Al pi halacha? What? It becomes ham, but it becomes hanan. And therefore, for 24 hours after the water, the pot is still ben yomo, because the water was treif. However, what if I cook meat in the morning, and I cook water in the afternoon? Does that water become hanan? Why not, obviously? Because not usr, right? So, therefore, it's only ben yomo for 24 hours since the meat. That's what Sefer HaTruma says, right? Seemingly very innocent, if 9 a.m. I cook meat, and 2 p.m. I cook water, then it's ben yomo until 9 a.m. tomorrow. If at 9 a.m. I cook treif, and at 2 p.m. I cook water, then it's ben yomo until 2 p.m. because the water itself was treif. Very innocent Sefer HaTruma, not directly about our topic. But, Agam, what comes out of Sefer HaTruma?
That if I cooked water, it doesn't make it pyrrhic. It just makes it, it doesn't restart the ben yomo clock, right? You have a, 24-hour clock, like the 24-second clock. How do you restart the 24-second clock?
You hit the rim. You hit the rim, you restart the 24-second clock. So, if you, in treif, you cook water, you hit the rim, restart the clock. If you know less about sports than I do, then you need to work on yourself before you go out and become a rabbi. But the water doesn't restart the 24-hour clock, but it does make it pyrrhic. That's very clear. Cook mayim. The pot is still bisari. So that's a flat-out steer to the Rashba, meaning that's a flat-out steer to the Rashba, this Sefer HaTruma. It's not water and milk, etc. So how do you answer? How do you answer this stira? Good question, right? How do you answer this stira? So,
what way does the stira per se
the Torah quotes them both.
As?
In the Halacha. The Torah quotes them both. He's possible. That's what I said. Within the Torah. Steers within the Torah. Can a steer of a Rashba say Ratruma? The Rashba, the Rashba, the same. The Rashba never... The Sefer Truma certainly never read the Rashba. The Rashba maybe read the Sefer Truma, wasn't bound by it, but the Torah quoted them both. That's how both these are steers within the Torah. Okay, so how did the Taz answer the stira? How did the Taz answer the stira? Says the Taz, he says that no, make an okimta. In order to weaken it, what do you need to do? You need to cook it for the same amount of time. If you think about it, if I cook meat for 3 hours and then I boil water for 10 minutes, that's not going to weaken it enough. Maybe that'll weaken a culture, but that won't be significant. Here it's cooked for the same amount of time. And therefore it weakens it. The case of the Sefer Truma was you cooked for less time. When you cook for less time, that's not enough of a weakening. When you cook with the same amount of time, that's enough of a weakening. And now, the Taz has given us his secret, too. The Taz has given us his secret, too. What's the geder of the Rashba? When it weakens, when you cook, for the same amount of time. now, okay, maybe I should have prefaced this. What do the Beis Yossi and the Marshal say? Let's put this as number here, zero, answer zero. What do the Beis Yossi and the Marshal say? Beis Yossi and the Marshal say, why do we call this answer zero? Yeah, they don't answer the stira. They say, Taka, the Torah messed up. He quoted two things that are so strict, right? Not Bedas HaTor, right? Not Bedas HaTor, but Bedas HaTzman says, this is true, and this is false. We don't pass like the Rashba. Okay. What was the Torah doing? Okay, Nebuch on the Torah. But we don't pass like the Rashba because we pass like the Sefer Truma. Okay, as Yoni said, who says it's a stira? It's a machlokas. I mean, the Torah implied it's a stira. Okay, but says the Shach Chas V'Shalom. No way this is a machlokas. This is a stira. You can get them both to work. You just have to answer the stira. But how do you answer the stira? So he thinks of other answers to the stira. He says, I can give you a gazillion answers to the stira. Which one answer to the stira is, he says, well, which of the three answers from before could work here? Exactly. Meaning not the tune. He says, maybe the Rashba seems to clearly be talking about a klishetef. Why do we think the Rashba is talking about a klishetef? Because he says that, but if it's treif, then you'd have to kashra it with hagola, implying it's the kind of kashra with hagola. And maybe this paper for a truma was talking about a kli feres. Okay, that he didn't say what kind of kli he's talking about. Maybe. And maybe the Rashba only meant it for a kli shetef, not for a kli feres. These are all maybes. What we have, the Rashba hints that he's at least also dealing with a kli shetef. You know, so all right, take that hint and run with it. Or he suggests some other answers. What are his other answers? So he says, for example, he says, no, maybe the Rashba is talking about where you fulfill the halachah of kashering properly, and the Sefer Truma is talking about where you didn't fulfill the halachah of kashering properly. Now, what's the halachah of kashering? Not that it has to be boiled for the same amount of time as it used to. That's not halachah of kashering. If I cook treif for 3 hours, I don't have to kashering for 3 hours. But what are some halachas of? What are some halachas of kashering? Says the Shach, let me just preface the Shach. Three to four. You never know what to count as one answer or two answers. Let's count as one answer. Says the Shach, very poshut, here you fulfilled all the conditions of Hagolah. That was the Rashba. If you fulfilled the condition of Hagolah, it's so weakened that it's gone. And here, well, you didn't fulfill the conditions of Hagolah. Now, we haven't gotten to the conditions of Hagolah yet. That's going to be much later in the year. But maybe we read the Shach where we know what are some requirements for Hagolah. Like, for example, didn't fulfill the condition of Hagolah, but you did have a halos cooking, right? But you did cook. When can you be considered to have cooked in the pot? Don't say but cold food. That's not even cooking. But not fulfill the condition of Hagolah. What's the most obvious way? There is cooking and blios, but it's not Hagolah.
Well, if you didn't fulfill
if you didn't fill the pot, right? What if I only filled the pot halfway? After all, how does most cooking, you only fill the pot half? I don't know, most. You only fill the pot. So he says, for example, 3.1 is the rasp is talking about when you fill the pot, and the sefer truma is talking about where you didn't fill the pot. Okay, technically it could be you only have to raspa fill it as much as when you cook the meat, or not as, but point is the raspa when you fill the pot and cook full pot of your rukos, and therefore you've kashered it. Say for a truma, so when we just cooked a little water, and therefore you didn't kasher it. Or, what's the most, I thought you'd all say, when can I put something and heat it up in a pot and it's considered cooking, but it's not considered hagalah? What'd you say? If it's yatzo lettuce, but not boiling, right? If it's between yatzo lettuce, we don't know what the number is, right? Let's call it 45 degrees. Or, is that when you're from the U.S.? Fine, let's call it 105 degrees, lachner, right? The most machner sheet is 105 degrees, right? It's something between 105 and 180 degrees or something. Okay, but it's not 212, right? So that's very pasha. Here, he says two solutions. They're both the same answer. This is the case where it was boiling, mala ratifa, and this is the case where it was yatzo lenisbo, but not boiling. Now, what comes out of the shach? What comes out of the shach is a fundamental machlokas with over the Taz and everyone else about the shita of the Rashba. What did the Rashba mean by this chiddush of weakening? So says the Taz, right? What is shita's harashba? What weakens the tam basar? So, according to the Taz, any cooking for the same amount of time. According to the Beis Yosef Marshal, doesn't matter what the Rashba held, because we don't paskin like him. According to the Shach, only a full, proper Hag'olah, Kelchaso, Kechol Mishpato, V'chukosav. Only a full Hag'olah. Now, that's the Shach. Now, this Shach is a little strange. Why is the Shach a little strange? Yeah, first of all, then it's not a chiddush, and that would work if it was treif also. It's not only hetera bala, right? Hagala and the chumash, not about hetera bala. Hagala and the chumash is about isur bala, right? So what's pshat? So here the shach, and I admit this shach is dochuk, because that is, sometimes the shach is smarter than all of us in this room put together, plus a lot of other people. But sometimes he says things that I just don't, they seem very not pshat in the Rishonim to me. Okay, I guess that was his judgment. But he says, really, real thought, what's the point of the Rashba? He's come to Mechadish to us that, there's cases where, even though it's not a full Hagalah, it still works because it was only Heter. And that seems pretty clear from his Lashon. I mean, the Shach knows this also. But from the Lashon of the Shach, what does he say? He says, you know what? Yeah, that's only for tetra, because it's bullet answer, then it's still trefa chiyagil haroi lahagil v'yilabin haroi lahagil until you have hagala or lipa. Sounds like putting hetra. You don't have to do hagala or lipa. You don't have to do hagala. Says the shach and the dochak, he says, you know what? What's the chiddush? Only full proper hagala. And then the shach makes it okimta. What's his okimta? Okimta was that it needed libun, meaning it was tashmisha al yidei ha'or and not al yidei famin. This was a baking tray or a broiling rack or a spit or something. It wasn't a pot. It was a baking tray. And therefore it needed libon. And that's what the Rashi meant to tell us. That if it was tray, something that needs libon is not kasher until you do libon. But if it was hetera, even something getting fleban can be kasher through hagala, which is something we know anyway from other parts of the Shulchan Aruch, but that's okay. The Rashi was allowed to tell us something that we know from other parts of the Shulchan Aruch. This is exceedingly dachak, A, because then the Rashi is not telling us a chiddush that is not written elsewhere, and B, he really doesn't sound like it's something getting fleban. He sounds like it's just a lower level of hagala, a weakening level of hagala instead of a cleansing level of hagala. But that's the tremendous dachuk shot of the shach in the Rashba. Halacha l'maisa, we have three possibilities here. Either we don't hold like the Rashba, there is no such heter, or the Taz, there is a heter, and it's a real chiddush l'heter, which is that even a less than regular hagala, you didn't fill up the pot, and maybe it wasn't so boiling, as long as it's equal to what you did last time, that weakens enough in the case of heter. And in the middle is the shach. Says we pass like the Rashba, but he's not telling us anything we don't already know, which halacha l'maisa, the shach is the same as Beis Yosef. Right, Bezos says the Rashba is telling us something we didn't already know, and he's wrong. Shach is telling us he's telling us something we already knew, and he's right. Now, just to be fair, the Shach is a subject for Dover. At the end of this, the Kudus Kesef, he says, this is a long Kudus Kesef. He says that, Efshar Lomar, that maybe he has a more relaxed standard, Efshar, but the Iker, his sort of main day of the Shach, is that it's the same day. Halacha l'maisa, the Achronim Paskin, like the Shach Beis Yosef, not like the Taz. Why? I don't know if they're so convinced by the Shach. And even the Shach says he's Masopic at the end. Like, is this Chiddush really true? But because l'maisa, since Beis Yosef, the Marshal anyway argued with the Rashba. And why did the Shulchan Aruch not quote the Rashba? Because Beis Yosef argued with him. Right? So he's not going to show. So the Nela, the Marshal, and the Beis Yosef didn't hold like the Rashba. And the Shach says that the Rashba said something, but he didn't really say anything. Therefore, it's hard to rely on this cool of the Rashba when maybe he didn't really say it. And even if he did say it, maybe we don't paskin like him. So Allah l'maisa, we are machmir, and we don't accept, either we accept the Rashba, but he's not really a kula, or we don't accept the Rashba.
We're machmir
that you need a full Haggalah, even for a Tehrabah. Even for Heter. You need a full Haggalah even for Heter. That's what Machmer. For Heter, you need a full Haggalah. The only Kula is if it was if it would have needed Liban, Haggalah is good enough, which is not a big Chiddush. But if something needs Haggalah, it needs a full Haggalah. That's where Machmer, like the Shach and the main day in the Shach and the Beis Yosef and the Marshal against the Taz. To quote you a line from the Shach, the main day of the Shach, Bar Rashba lo ka'amar ella, the only thing Rashba was saying, the kli atzarech liban, sagile b'hagalah shabola heter. A kli that would need liban, hagalah is good enough if it was a bli of heter, which again is meforshing mar and meforshing shulchan aruch in many places. Av a kli atzarech hagalah, but a kli that needs hagalah, v'adai tzarech hagalah gemura kedino, di lav hachi eno klum. He wasn't being made to a lower level hagalah like the Taz thought, and like Pashup Shat. No, you need a full hagalah. It's just that Haggalah is good enough instead of Liban. And then he admits, Inami, or he says, maybe Labdavka, but it seems like his main day is that, and that's therefore to assume that we can't rely on this Rashba, either because we don't paskin like him, instead we paskin like, say, for a Truma, or because we do paskin like him, but he never really meant to say anything interesting. Like the Rashba's third, the third answer here from the, like the Shach.
Does Esher, does the end of the Shach say maybe
Yom Kippur interaction? Well, in the end, Inami, Ladav, Kikomer, Yom Loki, Tikshim, and all the other, for 1 second. Elikli, the Afin Nafshach Lomer, here it is. The Afin Nafshach Lomer, the Lashon Arash, Mashmul, Tzarcha, Gala, Gemura. And even if Nafshach Lomer, that you don't need Hagala Gemura, but nonetheless, vade ein chiluk vein kach on the shard dvar and bazeh. So he brings an af nafshach lomer. If you want to say that maybe the Rashba doesn't require Haggalah Gemura, that's clearly not his main day. His main day is that he needs Haggalah Gemura. Sorry, what were you asking there?
So we mentioned that point of growth about the Rashba and the Balaam's context. It's possible that the Balaam's here is that.
No.
My father.
No, Chassid. Okay, if you don't like the Balaam's here, you're either Reformed or the Balaam's here. Those are the only two excuses. No one else is allowed to. Okay, now the last thing that Taz discusses is the White Knight. The real love one, right? There's a real love one. I'm not like an expert on everything. I looked at Wikipedia and we're not sure why he's called the real love one. Like everyone, like all these, you know, like Hoker from 100 years ago have theories, none of which have any evidence. Okay, so for some reason it's called the real love one. You know, I doubt it was because like his coloring was white. Some people think it's white hair. The only problem is like a lot of people have white hair. You know, we're the first generation where Chassid rabbis have white hair. In the old days, all Chassid rabbis were 25.
Maybe
you know.
Like
okay, so it could be that he was older and had a bigger beard than other people. It could be that he came from a town near a river that was called White or something. You never know. Anyway. Anyway, the Rihalovan has this chiluk. Says the Hagosha Matura in the name of the Rihalovan. Right? Here's this chiddush. What's the chiddush of the what's the chiddush of this Rihalovan? What's the chiddush of this, the big chiddush of this Rihalovan? The that if you have a pot, I'm going to say in different order for him. He goes back to Charlie. You have a milchik pot. What makes this pot? Now, you want to know if it's ben yom or not ben yom, because you accidentally cooked meat in a milchik pot. So you want to know if it's ben yom or not. So what do you say? Was the last use within 24 hours or not? So says the real lovan. Well, let's say it was used cold. It was just a pot that was held cold milk. So, if it was the first three times that it held milk, then it absorbed the milk, and now it's ben yomo. But let's say it was the fourth or fifth or sixth time it held milk. Then he called Savala Levloa. It was already full of glios, and it couldn't absorb any more glios. Again, we're not saying you cook. If you cook milk, it becomes ben yomo. It's soaked milk. Soaking milk is the milk nivla into the pot or not. If you just, what do you mean soaking? You just let it sit with cold milk inside it. If it sits with cold milk inside it, does that milk go into the pot or not? So says the, did I take this board? You think my camera works yet?
It's a line from Einstein.
Nope.
It's not
warning, camera is not yet realizing its full potential. Okay, thank you. Yeah. Okay, what does the real love one say? We want to know, what do we want to know? We want to know if you restarted the 24-hour clock or not, right? What restarts the 24-hour clock? A bli of chalav. So is it bolei or not? So what are the different scenarios? Here is the scenario doesn't involve and discuss. You cook milk in the pot that obviously restarts the 24-hour clock, meaning, what's the real point? The point is that it's boleya tam cholov, right? If you cook milk in a pot, it's boleya tam cholov. That's shmizi. That the real oven doesn't bother to tell you. What the two cases the real oven discusses? He discusses what if you soak milk in a milking pot. Does that cause a bleya or not? So he says it depends. If it's the first three times, or it's the fourth time and on. If it's the first three times, no, the point is not really 24 o'clock. The point is the bolea or not. If you cook milk in a pot, then it's bolea. That's easy. However, what if you don't cook, you soak milk? Then he says it depends. The first three times, the pot is bolea, And if a pot is Bolea, now it's Ben Yomo for another 24 hours. Restarts the 24-second clock, 24-hour clock. I didn't say. I don't know. What are the fourth target on? Then we say, no, it's already full. The pot's already full. Now, already full doesn't make a difference when you're cooking it. When you're cooking it, that really, the heat gets everything in. But here it's already full. What's the lashon? He says, sava mi levloa. And therefore, it's not bolea. Now, Sasha asks the $24,000, $64,000 question. When I was a kid, that's a phrase when I was a kid. Because there is this game show, I think, called the $64,000 question, and you either answer one question for $1,000, then $2,000, then $4,000, etc. And like the top question was $64,000, was like the maximum prize you could win. Like, who wants to be a millionaire? Right? Same idea. Except that when I was a kid, $64,000 was being a millionaire. Because it was, you know, before a lot of inflation. Okay. Anyway, you could work out the math on your own. So the $64,000 question is, as Sasha asks, soak for how long? Because what do we know, Sasha? What information do you know that you're sharing with us? There's a rule called kavushka mevushal, and the rule of kavushka mevushal, soaking kavushka mevushal, we pasken, is if you soak for 24 hours. So how long did you soak for? Let's think about it. If you soak for 24 hours, is the real lavan being mechadish a chomer or a kula? A kula, that even though you soak for 24 hours, it's sometimes not bolea. If you soak for 23 hours, then he's being mechadish a chomra. Even though you didn't soak for 24 hours, sometimes it is bolea. So is he a chomer or a kula, based on what we know? That's the basic question. The basic question is for how long? How long did the milk soak? And that's the fundamental machlokas here, says the Taz and many others. Well, let's start with the Levush of the Bach. First of all, where does he get this from? He gets this from Yayin Nesach. That, well, this is machlokas. Okay, he gets it from Gemara, that Rashi Shad Negemara, that Rashi Shad Negemara, it's unclear what it means once, twice, etc. Like, what happens? Rashi says, no, when you put treif wine in your cups the first few times it absorbs, and then it gets full and doesn't absorb anymore. Okay, so that's where he gets it from. So says the Bach and the Levush, two pshatim. Says the Bach and the Levush, 24 hours. In which case, this part is not a chiddush. It's just the regular din of kavush kemavushal, right? There's no chiddush in the first few times. That's kavush kemavushal. What's the chiddush? This is the chiddush. That even though kavush kemavushal, and even though mavushal would cause a blia, kavush isn't mamish kemavushal. Kavush kemavushal until it's already saturated. Once it's saturated, it can't absorb anymore through kavush. Right, I mean, it's really that concept, right? Imagine you water your lawn until it's saturated. It can't absorb any more water, right? So, the chiddush is, even though kavush kemavushal, once the kli is saturated, it's not bolea. Even though kavush kemavushal. And what's the Bach's proof? The Bach's proof is, this is, Rav Shechter would like this, right? Rav Shechter is always fond of pointing out how you have to know all Shisha Sibri Mishnah and everything, because every Erev Halacha depends on every other Erev Halacha. So the Bach and Levush would agree with that in this case. They say we learned this from a Gemara in Hamafkid. What is the Gemara in Hamafkid? I'm Mafkid oil, barrels of oil by you. And then you return them and there's oil missing. And I claim ganef. And you say, what are you talking about? I never touched it. So the halacha says, up to a certain amount of oil is okay that it's missing, and you're not a ganef, because it just seeped into the barrel and got absorbed in the barrel, and it's not your fault. and it's not your fault. That is a Gemara in Bava Metzia. But says Abaye, says, I mean, that's what's got a Gemara. But if they're old barrels that were already used many times and are saturated, then if there's any oil missing, you're a ganef, because it can't absorb anymore once it's saturated. So now, when I'm mafka the oil, that's more than 24 hours, clearly. I'm mafka it for a few weeks, a few months. So that proves that even sitting for a long time, once it's saturated, there's no more kavashkim of ushal. Nothing else gets absorbed. So to here, nothing gets absorbed, and it doesn't become a benyomo milchukli. So it ain't a benyomo milchukli, but it's not a benyomo milchukli. So therefore, if you cook meat in it, the meat will be kosher. However, the Maharshal disagrees. And the Taz and the Shach, the Kruz and Kesef all disagree. They say, nope, this is less than 24 hours. It's talking about less than 24 hours. Taka, if it was 24 hours, it would be usher either way. Right? If it was 24 hours, would be Bolea. Either way. They say no. Kovish kamavushal. When you're kovishing for 24 hours, it's bolea no matter how old or new it is. How does he get out of the riot from Bava Metzia? Doesn't it say that it won't absorb anymore, even if you let it sit for a month, once it's already saturated? Exactly. It doesn't say it won't absorb anymore. It just says it won't make any oil missing. Why? Because it will absorb, but it'll also expel. It'll be polate the same amount it absorbs. The first few times, it'll only absorb, and it won't be polate so much. Once it's saturated, if it absorbs 3 ounces, it'll expel 3 ounces. And if it absorbs 4 ounces, it'll expel 4 ounces. So you'll still have the same amount of oil. Doesn't mean it won't absorb. It just means it won't net absorb, because it will expel as much as it absorbs. So that's Taka. Here's a good point. Kavish kamavushim. Mushim goes in and goes out. Okay, so he neutralized the Bas Raya, in which case, this is not such a chiddush. This is not a chiddush. What's not a chiddush? In less than 24 hours, it's not kavash kamavushal. The fourth time is not a chiddush. What do you mean? In less than 24 hours, why should it absorb? The chiddush is a chiddush lachumra. Chiddush l'chumra, even in less than 24 hours, it will absorb if it's not yet saturated. That's a big chiddush. Even in 24 hours, it'll absorb if it's not yet if it's not yet saturated. That's Taka, big chiddush. Now, you have to limit this chiddush. What type of kli would this chiddush be limited to? Kli cheres. Give me a break. You're going to tell me if I soak something in a metal kli for less than 24 hours that anything happened? That's ridiculous. But a kli cheres, we know, is super duper bolea. So, let's just fix this. Not any kli chas v'shalom. Only a very porous kli. Kli cheres will absorb, because kli cheres is very, very absorbent. That's what the real lava meant. So that's the big machlokas. Did the real lava mean a chumra, or did the real lava mean a kula? Yes.
So this machlokas between the Bat, the Lush, and Marshall, and the Shat is about the mitzias of the real lava, or about the nature of the din?
The mitzias of the real lava. What mitzias was he talking about? Because logically, what would make sense for the real lava to say and what wouldn't, right? The Bach and the Bush say, this Chiddush L'Chumra, that's stupid. The real lava could never have said that. He must have said this Chiddush L'Kula, which is more logical. And the Shach, the Marshal and Taz says, that Chiddush L'Kula, that's stupid. The real lava would never have said such a stupid thing. He must have meant this Chiddush L'Chumra, which is more reasonable. So basically, he started with Smara. What could he have meant and still be a smart person? And then they figure that's what he meant.
Right. It's hard to argue that that's like
You have to do your best.
Yeah, no, I'm saying in terms of being a Korea,
But keep in mind, if you really ask them, you know, are you willing to swear to say for sure that's the real love one meant? They might very well tell you, look, I can't say for sure what the real love one himself historically as an individual meant, but this is what's true. So what's the difference? Right? Lemaisa, you put the marshal up against the wall and say, how do you know the real love one meant that? After all, the Lavush wasn't stupid, and the Bach wasn't stupid, and he said it, so maybe the real love one also said it. I have a feeling marshal will tell you, you know, and it could be, but if he said it, he was wrong. So let's ignore that possibility. Right, it doesn't really matter all that much what the real love meant. What matters more is what the real love should have meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
exactly. Right, like Rilichtstein's famous line to Tamar Ross, right? Which is that he doesn't buy her Pshat and Rav Kook, but if her Pshat and Rav Kook is correct, then he was worthy of all the opprobrium that was heaped upon him. That's a lot of opprobrium, by the way, if you know anything about Jewish history. Opprobrium. OPPROBRIUM. Okay, it's good to learn new vocabulary words. And hanging out with a Rilichtstein is a good strategy for
college.
What?
What is
okay, not for now. Not for now. There's a lot to be said about that. A lot to be said about that. What?
Close your mouth.
I don't know. Maybe that needs a whole day. I went home to my shul rav. I said, Avada, if that's what Rav Kook meant, then he's worthy of all the program that was heaped upon him. But is that what Rav Kook meant or not? And my shul rav, who was, who was not a YU guy from the Liechtenstein, he's a Philly guy, said, yeah, Pash, that's what Rav Kook meant. Okay. I don't know. I'm not far off yet, I have an opinion. You can ask him now. He comes around recruiting for lenders. He's the dean. I never asked him if he was Rav Kook was worthy of all the proven that was heaped upon him. That would be a good question. I can ask him next time. We'll tell that story post Shir Hak one day when there's no Shir and we have time for such a long post Shir Hak. Back to the real oven. Back to the White Knight. So, let's think about this for a second. Now we have to figure out, we have two machlokos here, right? We have, what are two machlokos here? Number one, what's an afkamina lemaisa? One afkamina lemaisa is Kavush, how do you say 24 hours in proper Be'ez Leis, right? In proper Halacha Lashon, Be'ez Leis. Be'ez Leis literally means from the time to the time, meaning from 3 p.m. to 3 p.m. That's the way they said 24 hours in those days. Kavush, Be'ez Leis, Be'chli Yosha, which the Bach and Lavush would say, not Malaya. And the Shach and the Taz and the Maharshal would say it is Bolea. The Achronim take the side of the Shach and the Taz. They say we do not agree with the cool of the Bach. The Bach's Raya is not a good Raya. The Taz successfully parried it. And if it was Kavush 24 hours, Kavush can Vushal, just like cooking, it can always absorb more. Likewise, Kavush can always absorb more. What if it's full? Then it'll lose some of what it has and then absorb more. What about the second afkamina? What about kavush? Less than 24 hours. What's the getter of less than 24 hours? So, some of the achronim here mention 12 hours. Okay, where do they get that? It's not 100% clear. But the prim gadol here lines 12 hours. So kavush, let's say pachos. Mi me'eis le'eis. Bikli chadash. Here, the Bach and the Lavosh would say it is Balea. The Rihalavon, according to the Shach, Taz, and Maharshal. Say it's not Balea. They never heard of such a thing as less than 24 hours. They would say it is Balea.
the question then becomes the end of the scripture. Do we pass like the real love one? Right? So, however, says the Maharshal, it's Bolea, says the Shach, nope. Ain't a Bolea, meaning we don't accept the real love one. That's his shot in the real love one, but he thinks we don't pass like the real love one. Why don't we pass like the real love one? He has a good point. He says, look, even we say, even a piece of food is not bolea in kavush less than 24 hours. Food is softer than klicheris, so how can klicheris be bolea? The marshal would just answer back and say, no, it's because a piece of food is pretty full already. It's full of its own juices. A klicheris is not full of anything. So even though klicheris is not softer than food, it's more easily bolea than food because it doesn't have its own juices. Right? So that's not such a good proof. Halach l'maisa, it's a big machlokas achronim, whether we are machmir like the marshal or make it like the shach, the prima godin is machmir in 12 hours, like the prima godin is machmir, in Simon Cafe, we'll see it, here also it mentions it, and he says the getter is 12 hours, not miyad. Halach l'maisa, it doesn't really matter, because we don't really have that kind of klicheris. Nowadays, any klicheris we have is a glazed klicheris, and a glazed klicheris, I'm not sure, but, you know, there's enough grounds to assume that the marshal would be moded to the shach in a glazed klicheris, and the real love would be moded in a glazed klicheris. So at the very least, in our klicheris, we could be makel, like the shach, and the bach, and the lavosh, because our klicheris is glazed, then probably no one would have been machmer, because even if for some purposes we treat our glazed klicheris as a klicheris, you know, we're not going to go that far and even have chidushim to treat it as super absorbent. So halach l'maisa, we would paskin like the shach nowadays in our kalim. Because our kalim are glazed, and therefore, even though the prima godim is machmer like the truth, oh, I don't have my prima godim because simon kafei. The prima godim basically says that also. Prima godim simon kafei says, in a glazed klicheres, you know, there's room to remake a makom, whatever, etc. It needs no to lahakel, and I think that's good enough for us. Even if he only says of your stuff. Kavush kemavushal, kemavushal, all kelim are bishul applies to 24 hours, all kelim.
That's what that's starting.
What?
The first
afkamina is not just klicheres, correct? I think. But it doesn't matter because we don't pasket like it, so. There's no enough meat and mice.
Did it ever come up?
No, not by the time we got through with it, because we don't accept any chumra. We don't accept the chiddush l'kula, and we don't accept the chiddush l'chumra in the end. So in the end, basically, we neutralize the real love, and we say after 24 hours, everything's bolea. Before 24 hours, nothing's bolea. So it's never going to come up. Okay, so much for Simon Tzadi Gimel. They're both psych. Let us go. Okay, if you stick a meat spoon into a milk pot or a milk spoon into a meat pot, this by the way is also my simple yom. Binyamin, if I can be a tree with you, unless you want someone else to do it, I need the board. I think you got almost every other shot.
No, I think basically, I'm almost there.
Yeah. I just want to point out that I can restart my phone, and now it's no longer failed, and it works perfectly well. And that should be a good lesson for all of us. Remember that. That's not what I meant. Okay. Rev Lichtenstein is, you know, it's always hard to tell when he was committing himself or not. Something you quote people and you never know what that means. And it means something in between. He'd always quote, I forget which god who said that. He doesn't know who invented the idea of being his manim, but whoever did is asad vitin asad din. Okay, I'm not implementing that personally. I'm not changing anything, but you know, that was his opinion. Asid Litin Esadim, I think, was his lashon.
Yeah.
I happen to actually think that Bema's Zman is very, very important, because that's when you get to, like, learn all the things that you don't have time to learn during the Zman. They're a little off the beaten path. And otherwise, you know, you just never get to broaden yourself. I didn't mean to commit myself, but, I was thinking more along the lines of Taros. But whatever it is, you know, yeah, it could be Kuzari, it could be et cetera, et cetera. Okay, Rebosai. Next name is Mani. You could go through all of Ray Saxon's books. It'll serve you well. Says Shovanach, if you stick the wrong gender spoon in the wrong gender food, Misharin, then what's the rule? It's Lushisha. Now, again, here we're talking about, as there are Muslim brothers, Akaf Ben Yom. If the spoon is Eino Ben Yomo, okay. The answer to the question I'm about to ask should be so obvious that you don't have to think about it. If right now it's not so obvious that you don't have to think about it, your goal should be that by a week from now, it should be so obvious you don't have to think about it. Here we have, let's say, milchik spoon in fleishik stew. Not just fleishik pot, actual fleish chicken soup. So, what if the kaf is eina bas yoma? Pretty sure kaf is feminine. Kaf achas, asarazahav. So, what if the kaf is not bas yoma? Then what's the din of the food? Mutter. Right, then that's poshet. Then the food is mutter. And what's the din of the kaf? The kaf is usser. Technically, the kaf is just milchik and fleishik simultaneously, and you could use it for pare, but okay, we'll accept the shach's minhag, because otherwise, you know, my grandmother would be very confused, and it's a reasonable minhag. But here's the interesting case. What if the kaf is bas yoma, right? That's what the Ramah says. Says the Ramah, in my kaf bin yomo, if the kaf is ben yomo, it's a problem. And what is the definition of ben yomo? Shishim shubo b'kli rishon tov me'eis le'eis. That you use it in a kli rishon of the last 24 hours. If you use it in a kli sheni of the last 24 hours, then that's not called ben yomo, because kli sheni is not bavliya. Has to be used in a kli rishon and the achronei poya. And what if you had used it not in a kli rishon, not in a kli sheni, but in between? What's in between? Either kli rishon. What if you had you put the spoon in a tureen and poured from the pot onto it in the last 24 hours? Then what would the rule be? Then what would the rule be if you'd use a big Iwer in the last 24 hours? Then it would be Ben Yomo Kedei Klipa. So you'd need Shishim Keneged Kedei Klipa. Right? So either if you use it in Kedei Klipa, it's Ben Yomo, you need Shishim Keneged the whole thing, as the Machaber says, Mashar Machol Mashnech Men Kedei, whatever is in the pot. If it was used in Kedei Klipa, then the food's totally mutter. If it was used by Iwer, then it's Ben Yomo, you could be Ben Yomo, Kedei Klipa, and Eino Ben Yomo, the rest of the thickness. That's what the Shach and Tazir point out, right? That then you need 60 times the Klipa. Generally, you'd have 60 times the Klipa, the stories. Okay, but what if it was Bas Yoma? Then the Kaf is definitely Usser. And here the Kaf is Usser Mamish, right? Because the Kaf is Mamish Bas B'chalav. It has a fresh taste of milk, and now it got a taste of meat. Mamish. Not just a minhag, but it's really a lumpish taf. And what about the food? The food depends if it is 60 times the kaf or not. Now, how much does the kaf count as? So we mentioned this a few times. We'll see that the Shavonach is not going to tell us till like, the Beis Yosef is not going to bring down till like Tzadi Ches or Tzadi Tes, that there is a Shitas Yachid of a Raifit who says that, no, we just estimate how much blios are in the spoon. That's a shitas yachid that we don't take into account at all halachically. All the Rishonim assume that we have a principle. The principle said about kal. How do we know how much the kal is milk? This is, we don't know, so let's call it all milk. Whenever you don't know, you assume it's all usser, milk, meat, whatever it may be, because you don't know. So how much of this spoon is milk taste? Right? Let's say the spoon is 10 kazesim. Think it's 10 kazesim of milk taste? That's ridiculous. It also has to have wood in it or metal in it. right? How much wood taste is in there in the pores of the milk and of the wood and the metal and what have you? We have no way of knowing. We have no way of measuring. I mean, maybe nowadays scientists do, but in those days scientists didn't. Even nowadays, I don't think the scientists know a thing. You need to give them $100,000 to do the experiments, and no one's done that yet. But we have no way of knowing, so we assume it's all full of milk. Obviously, it's not all full of milk. It's all full of wood with a little milk. But since we don't know, we assume it's all full of milk, and therefore you need 60 times the whole calf. But what counts as the whole calf? So, putting the whole calf. Now, the handle of the calf, the handle of the calf didn't touch your food. Only the part of your calf that's in the food. Right? Next, the Mechaber says, B'chol mashin nitchad mimenu b'kdeira, only the part of the pot that's stuck into the food. V'yesh mishomer, he quotes a famous rain of parrots. Shema kaf shel mateches, misharen b'kulo, mishin d'chamek tosu cham kulo. And he says, rain of parrots, this is my focus. If you have a, here's your calf. Here's your calf. And let's say this is 2 kazesim and this is 8 kazesim. So, if the calf is non-conductive, then avadi you only need 120 kazesim, 60 times 2. Right? So if the calf is non-conductive, which is anything but metal, right? Anything but metal doesn't conduct heat very well. Everything conducts heat somewhat. But doesn't conduct heat very well. So if it's not metal, then you just need 60 times 2. And if you have 60 times 2, then your avata, whatever tam chalo might be in that calf, and your chicken soup is still mutter. What if it's metal? So here it's machlokas. Says Rabbeinu Peretz. What's his rule that he uses? Cham miktsaso cham kulo. That means metal conducts heat. Meaning it conducts heat well, right? Cham itzoso cham kulo. And therefore, you need 60 times 8. Says the other Rishonim, nope, you only need 60 times 2. Yes. Times 10. Thank you. Not times 8, times 10. Correct. You understand, this can make a difference in the chicken soup, obviously. Who does the Mechaber Paskin like? The other Rishonim or Rabbeinu Peretz? How do we know? Zdam and Yeshomen. Who does the Rambam Paskin like? That's even easier. Usvar Rishonim Eker V'cheinogim. Meaning, you shouldn't have any doubts, right? He wants to make it 100% clear for Rachel Bichlak Tana, right? We Paskin like the other Rishonim. We decidedly do not pass like Rabbeinu Peretz. The Mechaber implies that by his formulation, and the Ramas doesn't rely on the implication and says explicitly, Svar Rishon Iker B'chein Noagin, nothing to talk about. Fine. Why do we disagree with Rabbeinu Peretz? After all, isn't it true that Cham Iktsaso Cham Kulo? Isn't it true that metal conducts heat? Isn't he right? The answer is it conducts heat. Who says it conducts bleos? Conducts heat means that if there's heat on one part, the heat will be in the other part. That doesn't mean the bleos will travel from one part to the other part. Conducting heat doesn't mean conducting bleos. Exactly. He thinks once it's hot, bleos travel. We say mapadom, it conducts heat, but it doesn't conduct bleos. What is it nafkamina that conducts heat? That the other end becomes hot. What would the nafkamina be? If I stuck a metal spoon into a boiling pot and then touched some ham to the top of the metal spoon would be trafed to the top, also got hot, and now it touched ham. Unlikely scenario. Meaning there's no likely nafkamina of being all hot. The nafkamina is, in case you want to know if the top is hot, you should know the top is hot, but the bleos don't travel. That's exactly my focus. Rabbeinu Peretz says it conducts heat, and therefore it conducts bleos. And we say, no, it conducts heat, but not bleos. Okay, we reject Rabbeinu Peretz, yes.
I imagine the other show would be the topic of the couple of the segment. Even the top part of the
suit
is going to become
usher from the bus side. Okay, hold that thought. Or maybe don't hold that thought. That's the discussion of the Pesachei Tshuva in Sivkot and Gimel. The question is, Tanach, we disagree with Rabbeinu Peretz. The bleos don't go from the top of the spoon to the chicken soup. How about the other direction? Do bleos go from the chicken soup to the top of the spoon? Maybe the difference in coming out and coming in. Maybe it's easier for bleos to go in than to come out. It's not so crazy. Why would it be easier for Pleiades to go in than come out? If Pleiades go in, they start with food. That's a strong basis. Pleiades to go out, they start inside a Klee. That's a weaker basis. So that's a fascinating question. What do we say? Let's just view this. Here is the top of the spoon. And here is the soup. So do Pleiades go from the top of the spoon to the soup? Rabbeinu Peretz says yes. And we say no, right? The other Rishonim, the Machaber, and the Ramah say no. But even within the other Rishonim, what about the following question? What about... Because Stam B'Yishomer. So Stam B'Yishomer implies he passes like the Stam. Right? He says, Stam Mashenitcha, V'yesh Misha'omer, that if it's metal, the whole clean. But he does pass like the Yishomer. How about soup into the top of the spoon? How about the other direction? Rabbeinu Peretz would for sure say yes. Would for sure say yes. But what about the other Rishonim? What about the other Rishonim? Would the Pleiades go from the soup to the top of the spoon? Maybe that's an easier transition than the top of the spoon to the soup, because it's coming from a be'en. So maybe it goes all the way into the, maybe it goes all the way up the spoon. So that is a machlokes brought down in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sivkot and Gimel, big machlokes, achronim, between two of the biggest Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch, who are probably the two biggest, the most authoritative Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch. No, the Taz is not as authoritative. Shachlim of Nevra, who says they have to be on the same page with Shulchan Aruch? Fair question. Between the Shach and the Magen Avraham, he quotes here from the Beis Hillel, who said he got this from the Magen Avraham, and then he found it. It's an Ofner, the Mefurish Magen Avraham in Siman Tov Nun Aleph. So what did the, says the Magen Avraham, as well as the Beis Hillel, and the Panagiros, they say yes. Meaning this is not a transitive property here. The Pleiades don't go from the top of the spoon into the soup, but they do go from the soup up to the top of the spoon. Okay. They do go in that direction. That is the Shita of the Magen Avraham and the Beis Hillel. And okay, maybe we'll get to something else. We'll see that after, if you want to make a kim to the Magen Avraham, you could say not, nah, but the simple shot is that's the Magen Avraham. So the whole spoon would be treif in this case. The whole spoon becomes treif. Correct. All 10 of the spoon becomes treif. No, because it goes up, it doesn't come down. It's not the same in both directions. This soup goes all the way up to the top of the spoon, but the top of the spoon doesn't come down to the soup. What's an afkamina? The afkamina is from now on, this spoon is all treif. What's an afkamina? Not if you stick it into another soup the same way. The afkamina is, what if you turn it upside down and stick it into a soup? Right? It's all treif, even the top. Or what if you drop it into a soup? Right? The afkamina is going to be, not if you stick it in again, because who cares? Nothing's going to come out. Is to be either if you turn it upside down and stick it in, or if you drop the whole thing into a soup. Okay, and who argues? The Shach argues. The Shach is not here. The Shach is later on in Siman Kof Chaf Aleph. It's very mefurish there in Siman Kof Chaf Aleph. Sivkatan Yud Zayin, and the Solas Lamincha agrees with him. It's basically Magen Avraham versus Shach. The Shach, by the way, is Mechalik. Don't ask me who wrote the Solas Lamincha. But the Shach Mechalik says, if it was used in, I'll call it a Liban way, meaning if it was used for roasting or baking, then the whole thing would become treif. But if it's used for cooking, then no, only the part that touched the food is treif, the other part doesn't become treif. Right? It doesn't travel, it only travels from the food to the part touching the food. It doesn't travel through the rest of it. That is the Chiddush of the Shach in Siman Kof Chaf Aleph. So that's the machlokas here. Does the top of the spoon become treif or not? The Shach and Siman Kof Chaf Aleph says no. The Magen Avraham says yes. What might an afkamina be? We'll get this in Kof Chaf Aleph. And he discussed this a little, but we won't get into it yet. How do you have to kasher this spoon? Is it enough to just stick the bottom of the spoon in proper boiling water with all the conditions, etc.? Or do you have to stick the whole spoon in boiling water? That's a machlokas in the Rashba and the Tor. In Siman Kof Chaf Aleph Yordea, and the Psak Halacha of the Ramah in or a chaim. So the tafnun aleph is that lechachila you have to catch the whole spoon, but the yevet is enough to catch the bottom of the spoon. What the logic of all that is, we'll get to. Halacha l'maisa, who do we pass from? Like here, Magen Avraham or the Shach. So the achronim in the end agree with the Magen Avraham and not the Shach. You can see a summary of the Mishnah Brura. In the Mishnah Brura, this is the Mishnah Brura in Siman Tafnun Aleph. So Katan Samach Tes says we pass like the Magen Avraham against the Shach, and he quotes lots of later achronim, many more than are quoted in this Pesvei Tshuva, who are machmir like the Magen Avraham is the Shach. Halacha l'maisa, we don't pass like the Shach, we pass like the Magen Avraham. And then he says, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is, what if I use something to stir pasta? And then on Pesach, I turn it upside down and just stick the handle into my vegetable soup. Nope, it's all treif, it's all chametzik. Because even the handle was chametzik. Not, the nafkamina is not. If I then stick it again into my vegetable soup on Pesach, because even if the top became treif, it's not going to come out. We don't pass like a rain of parents. But the nafkamina is, if I turn it upside down and stick it in, okay. Yes. So doesn't that show that Bleo spread when we have what about the whole Simon Sadi base? Wasn't so long ago. Doesn't that prove against the Shach? Doesn't that prove that when the drop hits this Kedera that it spreads? Right? Good question. Okay, I have one answer, but I don't want to give that answer. I think that's what you are going I think that's what you're going to have to say, that the shachir, that's going to be shachir. The shachir says this is only if it got. I don't want to be mistaken. One second. Yeah. That's what the Prima Gadamer says. Yes, that you have to say that this cool of the Shach is that what it's? Anyone have a Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph? Just want to make sure this fits the word. Who has Simon Kuf Chaf Aleph? No, paper one. No one has a paper Shulchan Aruch that goes to Kuf Chaf Aleph? What? Can I borrow it? Yeah, here it is. And that is Mifapas Hablia, Fiza, etc., etc. Yes, sir, and if we please. Actually, or mamish. Mashman Dibber, etc., etc. Yeah, I think that's what you have to say. It's funny that he doesn't explicitly, the Shach himself in Gochav Aleph, doesn't explicitly deal with this, but you have to make an okimta in this Shach. The Shach says this is only true of something that was hot through hot boiling water, not something that was hot through direct fire. And then he ties that into Liban and Hagala. But I think you have to say it a little differently. Maybe this Shach is only true, even though it's not what it sounds like in a lot of places, but if you look at the Gadim here, he says here, says this is only true when something was meaning it was partially stuck in the boiling pot. But in Simon Tzadi Beis, that Kedera was on the fire the whole time. I mean, you have to restrict the Shach. When does the Shach say this is true? Shach says this is true. No. Since the top of spoon was only heated indirectly. Meaning you have to say, and we'll see other reasons. He's more the Magen Avraham in a pot, because the pot was on the fire for a long time. The pot touched the fire. Keep in mind that the chicken soup doesn't touch the fire. The pot touched the fire. The pot would touch the fire. He admits that that's so hot that the bleah spread through it. It's only the spoon that doesn't touch the fire. That's chametzoso chamkulo. That's when he says, the bleah won't go through the whole handle of the spoon. So he admits in a pot. In a pot, he admits the Magen Avraham. It'll go through the whole pot. He only disagrees. Again, this, okay, when we get to the Shach, we'll get to the Shach. Maybe we'll see that that's also tricky. But before that's what you have to say. Maybe we'll look in the Corona for next time. There's any other answers. And that's what the Pripa Gadim here says. He says, no. When only the bottom is hot and then the heat goes to the top, then the Shach says, just like it won't come down from here to here, it won't go up from here to here. But forget it from here to here, will it go up to here? Yes, it'll go up to here, because this pot is the original heat. So the kula is only for the spoon, not for the pot. Machlok is Magen Avraham, Shach is only for the spoon, not for the pot. For the pot, it seems that they all have to agree. Because the Shach agrees with Simon Sadi Beis. Now, that's very not poshut, because in the Rishon, because keep in mind, Simon Sadi Beis, if hey, Vav Zayin has no source in, direct source in Shas. So you could disagree with the Shach. Okay, that's what you have to say. They're not arguing about a pot. They're arguing about a spoon. Okay, there's another way to defend the Shach as well. But we'll have to pick up with that in Mitzvah Shem next time because the hour is late. You could say he holds like a Kresu Placey if you remember the Kresu Placey quote in Pesach Tshuva. But we'll have to pick up with that in Mitzvah Shem next time. And I don't think he holds like the Kresu Placey. So that's why I'll go with this. Okay, to be continued, Mitzvah Shem. Here we go. Binyamin, yeah. Even though my phone works, Maskel Mitzvah, Omer Lov Mar. Okay.